Chapter 35. Fatigued voice. Poor little thing. You may imagine her condition. Apostrophe, have you seen his sister? Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired Jasper, as before. Whose? Apostrophe, apostrophe, the curtness of the counter-question, and the cool, slow manner in which, as he put it, Mr. Grewgious moved his eyes from the fire to his companion's face, might at any other time have been exasperating. In his depression and exhaustion, Jasper merely opened his eyes to say, the suspected young man's. Apostrophe, do you suspect him? Apostrophe, apostrophe, asked Mr. Grewgious. I don't know what to think. I cannot make up my mind. Apostrophe, nor I, apostrophe, said Mr. Grewgious. But as you spoke of him as the suspected young man, I thought you had made up your mind. I have just left Miss Landless. Apostrophe, what is her state? Apostrophe, apostrophe, defiance of all suspicion, and unbounded faith in her brother. Apostrophe, poor thing. Apostrophe, apostrophe, however, apostrophe, pursued Mr. Grewgious, it is not of her that I came to speak. It is of my ward. I have a communication to make that will surprise you. At least, it has surprised me. Apostrophe, Jasper, with a groaning sigh, turned wearily in his chair. Shall I put it off till tomorrow? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Grewgious. Mind, I warn you, that I think it will surprise you. Apostrophe, apostrophe, more attention and concentration came into John Jasper's eyes as they caught sight of Mr. Grewgious smoothing his head again, and again looking at the fire, but now, with a compressed and determined mouth. What is it? Apostrophe, apostrophe, demanded Jasper, becoming upright in his chair. To be sure, apostrophe, said Mr. Grewgious, provokingly slowly and internally, as he kept his eyes on the fire. I might have known it sooner, she gave me the opening, but I am such an exceedingly angular man, that it never occurred to me, I took all for granted. Apostrophe, what is it? Apostrophe, apostrophe, demanded Jasper once more. Mr. Grewgious, alternately opening and shutting the palms of his hands as he warmed them at the fire, and looking fixedly at him sideways, and never changing either his action or his look in all that followed, went on to reply. This young couple, the lost youth and Miss Rosa, my ward, though so long betrothed, and so long recognizing their betrothal, and so near being married, apostrophe, Mr. Grewgious saw a staring white face, and two quivering white lips, in the easy chair, and saw two muddy hands gripping its sides. But for the hands, he might have thought he had never seen the face. Apostrophe, this young couple came gradually to the discovery made on both sides pretty equally, I think, that they would be happier and better, both in their present and their future lives, as affectionate friends, or say rather as brother and sister, than as husband and wife. Apostrophe, Mr. Grewgious saw a lead-colored face in the easy chair, and on its surface dreadful starting drops or bubbles, as if of steel. This young couple formed at length the healthy resolution of interchanging their discoveries, openly, sensibly, and tenderly. They met for that purpose. After some innocent and generous talk, they agreed to dissolve their existing, and their intended, relations, forever and ever. Apostrophe, Mr. Grewgious saw a ghastly figure rise, open-mouthed, from the easy chair, and lift its outspread hands towards its head. One of this young couple, and that one your nephew, fearful, however, that in the tenderness of your affection for him, you would be bitterly disappointed by so wide a departure from his projected life, forbore to tell you the secret, for a few days, and left it to be disclosed by me, when I should come down to speak to you, and he would be gone. I speak to you, and he is gone. Apostrophe, Mr. Grewgious saw the ghastly figure throw back its head, clutch its hair with its hands, and turn with a writhing action from him. I have now said all I have to say, except that this young couple parted, firmly, though not without tears and sorrow, on the evening when you last saw them together. Apostrophe, Mr. Grugis heard a terrible shriek, and saw no ghastly figure, sitting, or standing, saw nothing but a heap of torn, and miry clothes upon the floor. Not changing his action even then, he opened and shut the palms of his hands as he warmed them, and looked down at it. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.